I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel text says that Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That is a sentence that got me thinking about how it is that this metaphor of harvest fits with healing prayer. So let me begin with a few thoughts on the harvest metaphor. The view from our upstairs bedroom looks out over a beautiful meadow. We have been watching the grass grow tall and move like waves on the ocean in the wind of our ridge. We are not farmers, but we could see that it was looking over ready for harvesting and wondered why the farmer wasn't cutting it down by now. Sure enough, just when we wondered if workers would ever arrive to cut the hay and wrap it up in those big white marshmallow-like bales, they came. Old MacDonald is the farmer. He's a good farmer. He cares about the hay more than we could ever know. He has kept watch for just the right time to harvest it by sending out his workers to bring it in and store it to feed his cattle on East Saanich Road. When harvest time comes, you need to bring it in or you will lose it. The grasses will wither and fade and topple over and die, never to be used for feed or straw for the barns, never to be honored for its potential to care for the livestock. It would be unthinkable for a good farmer to not find workers for his harvest. Thinking in terms also of other products like grapes and olives and wheat, would we ever think of not finding workers to cut the grapes off the vine, shake the olives off the olive trees, or gather the wheat to be able to make wheat, or gather the grains to be able to make wheat for flour? What happens if the work isn't done? The grapes will dry up in the sun, the olives will rot, and the grain will be spoiled. Worse, the seeds, the trees, the vines will suffer as a consequence of not being harvested of the fruits they have created. From fields of wheat to people in villages, the whole interconnected flourishing of life is compromised in this neglect of not sending workers to the harvest. People will then not have bread to eat, wine to drink to make the heart glad, and oil to fatten them up for the lean times, if there are no workers to bring in the harvest when it is ripe. Jesus uses this metaphor to describe the harassed and helpless people he is ministering to in Galilee. And he augments this metaphor with another one when he describes the masses of people like sheep in a field without a shepherd. The kind of shepherd who will search for these sheep and put salve on their wounds. Matthew tells us that Jesus has been meeting crowds of people just like this, that is, the sick, the diseased, and the demonized. He has gone about curing everyone he meets, no matter what ails them, and asking for nothing in return. Just prior to this part of Matthew's gospel story, we hear of Jesus curing a woman of a disease that has been draining her of blood for 12 years, and also raising a girl from near death. The woman and the girl were reunited to their families and to village life, whole and healthy once again. Jesus, he looks at the crowds of people full of others like these ladies and is overwhelmed with emotion. He is heart-stricken. Compassion is an understatement, for he is deeply moved. It hits him in the gut that all these loved ones of God's chosen people are left out in the fields, harassed and helpless. For him, it is as though these people are like sheep lying belly up in the pasture, unable to set themselves right without divine intervention. They are meant to freely walk, run, and play, and live comfortably in community, these sheep, these people. He needs helpers to shepherd his people. Jesus said, harvest, the harvest is huge, and there is hardly anyone working in the fields to bring the harvest in. The situation for the lost sheep of Israel that touched Jesus to the core was both the carelessness of pagan religious and civic life and that of their own spiritual leaders, always asking more of the people than they would give. In chapter 23, we read, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses, so practice and obey whatever they teach. But they don't, they just don't follow their example because they don't do what they teach.'" I meant to say, "So practice and obey whatever they tell you." And then he says, "But don't follow their example because they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden." Jesus, the incarnation of the living God, is unlike this. For God has sent him to reveal his heart of compassion and to lift more than one finger to relieve the burdens of the people. The mission he has come to do is to establish good shepherding, good farming, good communal living composed of healthy, cared for people. In other words, he's come to usher in the kingdom of heaven. The mixing of metaphors, it gets at the practical, the earthly, and the spiritual realities of the kingdom of God. The kingdom which needs workers to make it very real for everyone. This kingdom needs workers moved by deep compassion to work the fields of people, not to get them to just confess Jesus as Lord, but to actually heal them of their sicknesses, see that their diseases are cured and demons are cast out. When Matthew commits this passage we have heard to pen, Jesus has died and risen from the dead and gone back to God in heaven, leaving his heart and his hopes, his power and his authority on earth. Matthew writes this passage in the past tense. Judas, who will later betray Jesus, is an indicator in the passage. He's done that already. But at this time, when Jesus looks out at the crowds, he has seen hardly anyone there who will carry out his mission, who will compassionately work at a harvest of healing. So he tells his disciples, pray. He says to the 12, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And he beckons all of them, "Come here." First Simon, and then Peter, Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James and Thaddeus, Simon and Judas, the one who betrayed him. He then casts them out. The word is the same as casting out demons. He thrusts them into the crowds to do the work they have seen him do while he has been walking through the villages with them. Jesus is testing them. It is very likely that Jesus does this, casts them out, to see if they will be willing to do this work when he is gone. Surely he wondered if the disciples would pray for workers for the harvest and become an answer to that prayer so that his heart would be fulfilled. It is likely that Jesus all along has been praying for them, all these 12 and others, all those times that he would go up into the hills to pray. Praying that this list of 12 guys, ordinary, religiously unlearned and unexceptional, would to carry on this work of compassion and powerful healing. Peter and Judas are the bookmarks to this list, you see. Peter and Judas are ones who betray Jesus in different ways, so it is no wonder that Jesus wondered if they would carry out the work. But they do. They become the apostles, and the book of their Acts testify to the work of healing the sick and curing the diseased and setting people back in their right minds. This group of men and unmentioned women went throughout the world doing this work, freely giving the gifts of healing, not counting the cost or asking for payment in return. Many followers of Jesus have read the scriptures and heard him beckon them to the same work. Joseph de Wooster became a priest and took the name Damien. He is from Belgium. This is in the 19th century. He took the name Damien after the 4th century Christian martyr and physician. You know Father Damien? He had an incredible heart of compassion and said yes to settling on the island of Molokai to minister to the colony of lepers sent there by the Hawaiian government. He was known as the place that separates families. He gave his life to see to their healing, to them having a sense of the love of God in community, though they were cast out. Florence Nightingale, another one, she heard the call of God at the age of 16, and she left her life of comfort and ease, and she did so to reduce human suffering. She went to Turkey to become known as the Lady with the Lamp, as she did her night rounds of nursing the sick and wounded soldiers of the Crimean War. Florence and Damien and countless others have answered the call of God to provide spiritual and physical and emotional comfort and healing to the sick and the diseased. Countless others have done this over the ages, and countless more are needed. Out of the ordinary, unskilled, but compassionate congregations of churches throughout the world rises people who will be the answer to the prayer to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. God calls us as well. We definitely can see that we are meant to scale this down from Father Damien and Florence Nightingale to our lives, to how ordinary, perhaps unskilled, we are. Not many of us know how to do neurosurgery, but we are gifted with the power of Christ to heal. You see, Matthew wrote the gospel for us to hear the summons and not let the harvest rot and die in the fields. Not let people harassed and helpless in this day and age of secular carelessness and leadership that asks more from people than it gives. The Lord has not and will not stop caring and harvesting, but she needs workers. She needs people to believe in the power of Christ to heal. So we begin our response to this teaching with prayer and the courage and faith of the disciples to take up the work ourselves. The gifts of the Spirit to heal, to cure, to comfort and protect others are given to all who are baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. James wrote in chapter 5, Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? Yes. He goes on to say, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I strongly believe that any one of your prayers is powerful and effective when you pray for someone who is sick, who is struggling in their mind, in their heart. Christ has come to be this healer and to see the kingdom of God established. And it is through our faith. It is through us taking prayers to people and receiving the grace of God when prayer is answered. So I'm going to conclude by handing something to you. It's a little prayer card to help you be a worker in the field. The prayer card says, Spirit of the living God, present with us now. Enter you, body, mind, and spirit, and heal you of all that harms you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give each one of you a card. If you're bold enough, say this prayer over the person next to you, here and now, so you get a feel of how this works. But take this home and say it over each other from time to time, or quite regularly if the needs arise. Spirit of the living God is present with us to heal. Amen.